If you enjoy edibles like I do, and yes, I'm talking about the edibles that are cannabis-based, I am a huge fan of Flora and Bast. Now, I love their sativa gummy. It combines live rosin and kratom. It increases alertness, focus, and physical vitality. It also alleviates anxiety and discomfort. And their gummies are ideal for users who want extra zest in their daily life. And kratom, it's spelled K-R-A-T-O-M, is one of the best medicinal plants on the planet to improve focus, energy, and mood while simultaneously reducing pain. This is combined with cannabis. And this combination is ideal for people seeking flow throughout the day and improve mental wellness. Now, when I take it, I have this light, wonderful feeling. My pain is reduced. Everybody who listens to the show knows I talk about my three different types of tendonitis. And I just feel focused and I feel good and I absolutely love it. So again, these are sativa gummies and they are by the fantastic company Flora and Bast. So be sure to check them out. Each gummy has 10 milligrams of THC.
When you go there, you see their pill box. It's Friday and the pill box is full from Monday on. About 90% of older adults want to age in place. They want to age in the comfort of their own home. Another really sign that you should consider moving is if you're at your parents' and you notice a lot of bills that are piling up.
Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. So glad you're listening to Health Power. I have back on the program the wonderful Jenny Monroe, MA. She is a gerontologist and response team manager for Home Instead's global headquarters. And we've been doing a whole series on Home Instead. And Jenny, I'm excited to have you back.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
It's so great to have you on. So today we're going to be talking about how does an older person know that they need help? Because what Home Instead does is they provide people to help out around the house, to take you on errands, to do light housekeeping. Did I miss something, Jenny?
Personal care. So bathing, dressing and grooming, meal preparation, companionship to avoid isolation.
Nice.
And even mobility assistance. Because as we age, there tends to be older adults become a higher fall risk. And so we want to prevent them from falling and keep them safe in their home.
Absolutely. All right. So why don't you jump into this topic, Jenny?
You bet. So as we talked before, about 90% of older adults want to age in place. They want to age in the comfort of their own home. But ideally, aging in place isn't always for everyone. Okay. There's a lot of things to consider. But as a child, there are some signs that you should consider possibly moving mom to a facility. And some of those you want to consider, are you unsure of whether it's the right time for you or your loved one to maintain their place at home, or should they make a move to a new residence? And some of the signs that you can observe while you're with their parent at their home is, observe if they're having any trouble going up and down their stairs, because we know stairs is a big fall risk. Okay.
Right.
If they're struggling with that, that might be one sign. Another sign would be if you've noticed that they've had some falls recently, maybe there's some bruises on their arms or even their face, or maybe you even witnessed it yourself, them falling at home. Sometimes older adults forget their medication. So you really want to make sure that they're taking their meds properly and taking them on time. And maybe when you go there, you see their pill box. It's Friday and the pill box is full from Monday on. So you want to make sure that that's a sign that maybe they should consider moving. Another one is maybe they no longer can cook for themselves, or they've had incidents where they left the stove on, they left the oven on, and you've noticed there's a lot of fast food boxes and wrappers. So they're not eating a proper diet.
Right.
So that might be another sign that maybe it's time to consider moving somewhere else.
Jenny, I want to jump in for a second.
Yes, please.
Because my father-in-law really wanted to stay home. So we did our best and we had people come in. But then he left the upstairs faucet running, flooded through. It was a flipping disaster.
Oh, my God.
And the stairs. And so, luckily we had the means to put him in a really nice assisted living. And he liked it because he loves to chit chat.
Great.
Every meal you get to have people chit-chatting. Absolutely. I'm not saying that, you know, people can have, if they can stay in their house, that's great.
But absolutely.
I do think there's pros and cons to having people come in, and there's cons to being in a place.
100%.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. He was well taken care of. And yeah, he lived there for about a year. And then he kept getting recurrent bladder infections and having other problems. I mentioned the Lewy body dementia, and then he went downhill quickly. But he was able, even though he was in a place, he was able to go home to pass or to go to one of his son's houses.
Okay.
My point is, that's dangerous. I mean, he literally flooded the whole ceiling. It went through. It ruined the family room. And
yeah, big red flag. Big red flag. Yeah. So that would be a sign to start looking for a facility or an environment that you know he'll be safe in.
Right.
And another sign too would be, you know, are they bathing frequently? You know, as we age.
Oh my God. Yes.
My mom lived with Alzheimer's, and the hardest thing for us to do was to give her a bath, and she hated it. I don't know if it was the cold or she didn't recognize who we were, you know, but we tried to, you know, treat her with dignity and respect when that time came. And we knew it was hard for her.
Right.
And we knew my dad wasn't giving her the bath that she needed. So if your loved one is not bathing as often as they should, that could be another sign that maybe it's time to move them into a facility.
You know what's interesting with that, Jenny, is even when my father-in-law was moved of the facility, at first he was super cooperative with them, helping him bathe. But then I think because of the Lewy body dementia, he was just like, I don't want a bath. I don't want a shower. I don't want a bath. And they had to call at my husband and his brother and say, your dad needs to be bathed. Like,
yes.
And they would have to talk to him and really convince him. And
it's very difficult.
So I'd love for you to talk a minute about how the dementia plays a role in somebody not wanting to do those activities of daily living, even if they have help.
Absolutely. And it was difficult for us. My mom would literally cry when my sister and I would come over to her house. We're like, Mom, you know, we would hold the towel around her. We would actually take the towel and put it in the dryer and bring it out and have it warm.
I used to do that for my daughter.
We put the heater in there. So my mom was always cold, very small woman. But I also think, too, with the memory decline and her not really knowing who my sister and I were, it was more like invasion and like, I don't want you to bathe me and, you know, see me in that way. So really just having a conversation with my sister was much better than I was when it came to being stern with my mom and telling her, Mom, you know, there is no reason to be crying. Now stop that. We're going to take a bath. It's going to feel great. You know, here's the towel. Come on, let's do it. And you really take that role as a parent and being in charge. But it is tough love. And it is very difficult to bathe an individual that is living with Alzheimer's or any other related dementia.
Yeah, that'd be hard for me because I'm one of those people who really believe in active listening and, you know, saying things like, I hear that you don't want to take a shower. It's okay to cry, but you're still getting in the bath.
Yes, exactly.
This is me. I could never say to someone, don't cry. I'd be like, I know. You can cry all you want, but we're taking a bath.
Yes, either approach is great.
Exactly. I throw that in just in case.
No, I appreciate you saying that too. But yes, having the talk that, Mom, we're going to do this and it's not going to hurt. You're going to really enjoy it.
You don't like
it. Know? And have a great body bath soap and a really great washcloth or just really making them feel comfortable and treating them with dignity and respect is very important and crucial.
So when my father-in-law first got to the place, he was doing really well mentally. And that's probably why he didn't mind.
That's probably.
So maybe after a while, he's like, who the hell are these people? And why are they trying to do anything?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Great points, Lisa.
I have tried so many skin and hair care products. I can't even tell you. It's insane. I mean, at one point, the closet in my bathroom was full with every imaginable product. And then I found what works, and that is OneEarthBodyCare.com. I am in love with their shampoo and conditioner bars. Completely changed the game for my daughter, who had a hard time finding a good shampoo and conditioner for her hair. Their face and body is amazing. I love their day and night oil, all natural ingredients, of course, and all of this, essential oils, really great stuff. And of course, the deodorant has changed my life because I am no longer smelly. So go check them out now at OneEarthBodyCare.com.
Another really sign that you should consider moving is if you're at your parents and you notice a lot of bills that are piling up, and some that aren't even paid. So they don't have that ability to realize, okay, you have a Cox cable bill, you know, you have your heating bill, your MUD bill, your, you know, all these bills are piling up. And if you see them, I know with my dad, he has his office and all of his bills are there, and we make sure that things are being, you know, being paid for.
Right.
Or if you even want to take that responsibility on as a primary caregiver, my brother actually ended up doing that, is to have all the bills sent to him and he's his POA and he takes care of dad's bills. So,
right.
But a sign early on is if those bills are piling up and not being paid. So,
okay. So these are for people who might be using home instead or have people in their home or the family's caregiving. And then you come to a point where it's like, we just can't handle it. It's just too many things.
Absolutely, yes. Because a care professional isn't going to be paying their bills, right? So
No. You
probably at that point, if you have a care professional into the home, you may have already taken over that responsibility for your parent or loved one.
Yeah, I know that my husband and his brother were doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was a relief. They were so relieved when they got him in the place, the assisted
good.
Living
place. It really takes a lot nice. Off.
Not everyone can afford that either.
Absolutely.
Well, they had to sell his house.
Oh, yeah.
To pay for it.
It gets
Here's
really expensive.
Year, so, you know.
Yeah.
But because he passed. But yeah, it's scary how expensive.
It's very expensive.
When you're elderly.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people are shocked when they hear our rates. But, you
oh,
know,
good.
We have this umbrella of care. It's not just sometimes people will call us
you
and say,
because it's more costly.
It is very costly. It's not an hourly basis.
Sure.
But yes, everything's expensive. So
everything,
it's always good to do your research.
Exactly. You're not going to get out of this without having to pay.
Right. And at the beginning of care, it just might need, you might only need a care professional to come in the home 3 times a week for 12 hours to provide that assistance with the light housekeeping, the laundry,
right.
The grocery shopping, some meal preparation, some companionship, maybe some personal care 2 days a week. So it's a really nice gradual ease and option for those people that they might not be ready for a facility right now. Okay.
Right.
Maybe they just need some help. And I'm an only child and I have a full-time job and I have kids. I live in that sandwich generation where I have
yes.
my own house and now I have my mom to take care of and a full-time job. So
right. For
me as a child, I'd feel great knowing that a care professional was with my mom for 3 days a week for 4 hours and participating in some companionship and doing those things that I can't because I have a full-time job.
Have you ever had any of the care providers from Home Instead come to you and say, I think this could be dangerous. Like they left the stove on or they did this, you know,
absolutely
you need to have it without feeling like, oh, am I turning my back on the company? But you know what I mean?
No, that is a great sign. And that's another great reason to have a care professional in the home because they do report back to the care coordinator, who is the person in charge of
right.
the family and that client. So that is exactly how we, as my family, found out my mom should be on hospice. We hired Home Instead. We had Home Instead for about, I think it was about 2 weeks in. And the care professional that was there spoke to the care coordinator who spoke to me and said, Jenny, you know, Lisa was at your house with your mom and she really thinks that she'll qualify for hospice. And I was like, what? I'm like, you know, you hear hospice and you think, oh my God,
right. The
next step is death.
Right.
Well, she was absolutely right. We called a hospice company here in Omaha. They came, the doctor came, evaluated her, and the next day my mom was on hospice. And that was a good thing because then we had a nurse visit, we had a bath aid, we got the hospital bed, and
yeah.
they, you know, they approved her to be on hospice. So
that
care professional.
Yeah, father-in-law too.
Isn't that amazing? So
they
are another set of eyes in the home when you cannot be there. So
okay. Yes,
and then another one too would be some things to consider moving is if you can't drive anymore, right? So we all love the independence and having that car, but there comes a time in life where maybe that isn't the best. Our reaction time is decreased. Our sight isn't the best. We shouldn't be driving at night. We should probably be driving, you know, during busy times of the day. So that's another indication of maybe you should move because if you are the adult child and don't live in the same area as your parent, who's going to drive them. You probably don't want them to take an Uber or a Lyft. Okay. That might not be the safest thing. But another thing to consider is when that driving is no longer available to your loved one.
Okay.
And then the last thing is really loneliness. You know, are they depressed? Are they lonely? You know, if they can't drive, how are they going to socialize?
Yeah.
So if, like you said, with your father-in-law, right?
He went into a facility and
he was great. And I think my mom,
with people and
I love that. You know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think a facility would have been great for my mom. She's very social, but it's definitely not for my dad. So, I mean, you really have to, it depends on the individual and the person. It depends on their cognition. So a lot of things to consider.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Jenny, I always love having you on. This is such important and informative information.
Absolutely.
You know, for my father, he'll be 85 in March. He's doing really well.
Good.
Overall, like really well. But he lives in Hawaii and I'm in Massachusetts. So we FaceTime every weekend. But
that's great.
When he starts to go downhill eventually, it's going to be interesting because he's still married. I'm not going to be there. I don't know. It's hard. But it's also like, wow, I saw how hard it is with my husband and all the responsibility he had to take. I can't do that. So there's like a feeling of helplessness, but also do you have home instead in Hawaii? Because maybe
we do.
Oh, good.
We sure do.
Oh, God, I feel bad, you know?
Well, and I understand that. And that's what's so important is to really have those conversations with him while he's cognitively aware, and ask questions and do it in a gentle way where, asking him, how's your driving? Are you still able to drive? Are you comfortable? And asking him some questions that maybe will trigger you as a red flag of, okay, maybe we should talk to home instead or another home care provider, to help dad around the house. And that's okay because that's his goal. He wants to remain in his home, but you want to make sure he's safe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, Jenny, tell us all the ways we can find out about Home Instead.
Absolutely. Our website is homeinstead.com, real simple. We have plenty of resources on that website as well. I'm just trying to think of that was the only one I really have for today.
Okay.
Homeinstead.com for additional resources.
Well, this is great information. Everybody keep coming back. Jenny's going to be back for more. What are we talking about next time, Jenny?
Yes, the Home Instead 47 rule.
It's a
rule that was started by Home Instead, and I'm excited to talk about it and what it entails.
Nice. All right, everybody keep coming back to Health Power 5 days a week. Be sure to check out Home Instead. Rate, review, subscribe, and have a great day. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Well, that's it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you, and we would appreciate it if you could please rate and review and leave a comment, because the more you engage with our podcast, the more you will find it and help other people find it wherever they listen to their podcast. So be sure to follow us. I'm at Andrea Donsky and at Naturally Savvy, and Lisa
at Lisa Davis MPH.
Thank you so much. And please share this episode, because the more you share shows you care. We'll see you next time.